You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective. And you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
It is 9:04. It's time for Hunter Chamber Radio. Weather, we're at 48 degrees in Flemington. It's overcast skies, but it's going to be raining today. Cloudy with periods of rain and a high of 57. Winds light and variable. Chance of rain is 100%. Rainfall, rainfall around a half an inch. Cloudy skies and a low of 42 tonight. Sunshine and clouds mix tomorrow with a high of 48. Yeah, it is December, folks. Except for a few afternoon clouds on Saturday, mainly sunny and a high of 43. Sunny skies and 46 on Sunday. Monday, mostly cloudy, 54. And Tuesday, a overcast skies, rain showers at times at 56. Early reports for the big guy coming on in. He's going to be coming in a swimsuit. It's 66 degrees at Christmas. Temperatures in our area, 48 in Raritan, 47 at the county complex, 50 in Tewksbury, 48 up in Phillipsburg, 48 in Lambertville, 48 in Ringo's. Good morning, Hunterdon. That is Hunterdon Chamber Radio weather. To Good Morning Hunterdon and Huntshipper.com. It's got my guests here from Raritan Valley Community College talking about a really cool program called Teach to Matter. This is going to be a really interesting show, and I'm going to tell you why right now. Because the assistant professor of education in the educational programs. She's director of educational programs. Is Kathy Sook, and she's got with her a little bit of a reunion. She's got her former student, and now who's helping her with the program, Lauren Young here from North Hunterdon. So this is going to be a very cool show to learn all about what's going on. I'm going to bring them all in. Good morning, Catherine. How are you?
I'm good, Chris. Thank you. How are you?
Very good, except for blowing your title there.
That's
sorry
okay.
About that. So we'll get it all straightened out. It's okay. Better if I get it directly from them. And Lauren, welcome, and thank you for coming on in, too. I think this is going to be really cool.
Oh, it's such a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much.
Thank you. So I'm glad we could get everybody over here. Catherine, this is, and I'm going to, I'll go by Kathy, right?
Yeah, okay. Kathy's fine.
Kathy's fine. You're very informal with me. There, Kathy is the assistant professor of education over at RVCC. And it's the program's called Teach to Matter, and it's you use the it's one word, teach, with a number two, matter. So give me a hint as to why that name came up and why it's what it's all about.
Okay, so about 3 years, no, gosh, 2 years ago now, I became pretty involved on Twitter, and I have a vast professional learning network of approximately 2,000 educators around the United States and the world. And one of the folks that I follow is Angela Myers, who is the founder of Choose to Matter, Choose, the number two, matter.
Yep.
And it's an initiative that asks students to examine their passion and to answer three really pertinent questions. What are you passionate about? What about that needs your attention, and what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do about it? And when I learned about this model and I watched some videos online and did some research, I said, my pre-service teachers absolutely need to be part of this. So I sent a pretty lengthy email that started off, you know, pretty enthusiastic. And the response that I got was, the first sentence said, I love your energy and let's talk. So we did. We talked. And I talked to Mark Moran, her second in command, and I spoke with Angela, and I explained that I really would like my students to be part of facilitating learning, because they always tell me from the start the reason why they want to be teachers is to make a difference, and I want to give them the opportunity to do that now. So that's how it started, and I don't know if you want me to continue to give you further info.
We'll get there.
Okay.
You got to get me involved a little bit, or else I'm just going to go and get breakfast.
Gotcha.
So, no, but that's really cool. Now I'm going to tell you right off the bat, I you and I only had dialogue through email.
Correct.
I met you just in the hallway. Energy, wow, you got it, man.
Thank you.
It is, the passion is there, no doubt about it. Now, it started how many years ago? I'm sorry,
it started in the spring of 13, if my memory is
2013.
Yeah.
And so now we bring Lauren in here, and I'm getting a sense that Lauren was somewhere in the middle of this initially. So how did you get involved, Lauren?
Well, I was a pre-service teacher in her class. It wasn't right. called Teach to Matter then, mm-hmm. but it was the same kind of thing. And she's so right in saying that it's like all about the passion is,
right.
is that, you know, you get into that because you want to make a difference.
Correct.
So I went through both of her classes. It was such an amazing experience. I was totally prepared when I moved on to my four-year college. And then I reached out to her last year just because I wanted to say thank you. And I remember she brought in a panel of teachers, and I was like, if you need a teacher, like, I would love to do it. And then she ended up getting in touch with me about having two, I keep calling them student teachers, pre-service teachers with me in my classroom. I really worked them.
Teachers.
They were like student teachers for me.
Yep. So, all right, I'm going to let you in on a secret, because I have an education degree too. So,
ooh.
So we're going to talk teaching a little bit. So,
yes.
So this somehow correlates with a teaching program.
Correct.
Over at RVCC. So tell me how those two connect.
Okay. So at RVCC, we have five education programs. Some are certificate, some are terminal degrees. And then the two programs that are transfer-based are the AA in Education P-6 mm-hmm. and the AA in Education 5-12. I'm the coordinator of the AA in Education, so the Associate of Arts degree in Education, for the folks that want to teach middle school and high school. And when I became connected with Angela Myers and Choose to Matter, mm-hmm. I brought this in as my service learning model for the students that want to be middle school and high school teachers.
Gotcha.
So they start with me and then transfer to a four-year school to complete their baccalaureate degree and their certificates.
Okay. So now, is this part of the curriculum, or is this a service level club type?
No, it is not a service level club. It is
right.
co-curricular.
Co-curricular.
It is, mm-hmm, it is part of the curriculum, mm-hmm. because students in foundations, which is the initial course, must serve 20 hours in the field, mm-hmm. and then students in the field experience course must serve 30 hours. So it's definitely integrated into the curriculum.
All right. So now you kept throwing around a term called pre-service. As opposed to student teaching, to make the distinction for me.
So student teachers are pre-service teachers as well. Mm-hmm. These students, though, are not in the position where they have any certificate. They're not even, they don't even have their sub-certificate yet, because they have less than 60 credits.
Right.
So we can't call them anything beyond that, because simply they're just preparing to be in-service teachers.
Okay. So what do they get to do?
So, right now, the model that we're trying to utilize is giving them the opportunity to participate in the passion-based, project-based, problem-based, project-based learning. They think about what they're passionate about. They think about a problem in regard to their passion, and they think about a way to impact and create an action plan in the classrooms where they are working. So we have students all over Somerset and Hunterdon County right now, and in those classes, they're spending time observing the teacher and then deciding, okay, this area needs attention, or there's a deficit here, mm-hmm. or you know what, I'm really passionate about, you know, this social justice issue, and I don't think these students understand it, so I want to bring it to them. So they work collaboratively with the students and the teacher to create an action plan that they can implement. And then hopefully, if everything works out, we will turnkey this in the following semester, in the spring semester, such that the teachers, the pre-service teachers, will work with their cooperating teacher to help their students do the same thing. Answer the three questions. What are you passionate about? What about this needs your attention? And what are you going to do about it? Mm-hmm. So that the middle school and high school kids are also getting civically involved with social justice.
Yeah, I'm catching on now, because it's normally when you go into a pre-service type mentality, and I did that back in a long time ago, mm-hmm. and it was really to give me as a student insight into what it's like to just prepare a lesson plan and right. be in front of students and fumble around and try and figure out how to do it. But somehow you've blended that activity with providing some type of passion towards a social cause.
Correct.
And trying to just kind of inspire people to buy into it, learn about it, and even act upon it.
Correct.
That's what's going on. Cool. Very cool.
So cool.
It's so cool. Because it's like there was a leg missing in the triangle. You know, because when I used to do pre-service activities, the first one would be, you know, find a hobby or something you really have knowledge about, and bring it to the students and do it. You know, I show them how to build a paper airplane for like 10 minutes or something like that, which really it's fun and everybody had a good time, but you know, you really didn't leave with a lasting impact. But now you're bringing passion to a community-based problem.
Yes, and it's also authentic. It's also authentic. Yeah. You know, the fact that the students are feeling connected to the teacher and to the students in the middle school and high school classroom right. gives them a sense of empowerment. And because it's relevant, they're saying, you know what, I really think that I can make a difference, which is why I stepped into this, you know, field in to begin with. So it creates a retention in the profession that we so absolutely positively need.
Yeah. There's a whole lot of other questions I got now.
Okay.
Wow, you just blew me away with that there, Catherine. So we're at a break though. We're gonna take a quick break, and I'm gonna regroup my thought process here, and then we'll be right back with Lauren and Kathy in just a moment. Hang on, you're listening to Good Morning Hunter and HunterChamber.com. Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent. Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on HuntingChamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our 100 Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the 100andchamberradio.com app today.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
All right, welcome back to Good Morning 100 and 100Chamber.com. I got Kathy Sook here and Lauren Young, and we're talking about Teach to Matter. And man, I just got a philosophical brain hemorrhage from listening to all this stuff. It's unbelievable. It's what, like I said before, it's really cool how it fits in, and now I understand where you got the passion for the idea.
Thank you.
So we're talking about this program at RVCC. It's called Teach to Matter, and Kathy, you talked about how you came up with the idea. You talked about how you it formulated and how you applied it to the curriculum. But now the question is, give me some detail, some history as to how it started and how it evolved over the last 3 years, right?
Okay.
It's amazing how it's formulated and it's grown the maturity it is already, right?
Thank you very much. So after I reached out to Mark Moran and Angela Myers of Choose to Matter, and they gave me the go-ahead to come and witness the experience live at a high school in East Greenwich, Rhode Island, I sent out basically an all call to my students during the winter holiday break and said, if anybody is interested, we're going to take a trip up to Rhode Island. It'll be on Valentine's Day weekend. We're going to witness this, you know, live. And 5 students responded. 4 stuck with me through the whole process. And I'm so grateful to them. And you know, Emily Daigle, Shannon Hellam, Matthew Santoro, and Eric Lister, If you are listening, you are still the superheroes of Teach to Matter. they worked with me. They became my PLC, my professional learning community. Mm-hmm. And we work together as peers, not as teacher and students,
right,
for the duration of that spring semester, trying to figure out how to create a syllabus that would infuse this model such that the students would have the understanding of the content prior to the implementation of the project. And we tweaked. We came up with a pitch to local teachers. We designed a web page. We have a Twitter page, a Facebook page. They became so actively involved in their own professional learning community that it just exploded. And we went from having 2 schools interested to having schools now in 5 counties that are interested in working with us. It is not the same schools every single semester because it depends on space and the availability of teachers, and certainly the testing schedule plays in for some folks.
Yeah.
But we are so grateful. We've worked with the youngest group that we've worked with is 3rd graders, mm-hmm, at Slackwood Elementary School in Lawrenceville, New Jersey. And then the oldest group that we are working with is actually, they are actually college freshmen at RVCC in the Student Development College Experience courses.
Wow.
So we've spanned the whole gamut.
I got to give you some kudos.
Thank you.
And here's the kudo, because it's rare. It's rarer than I think you think, that you had the courage to bring your students into the development process and bear the fact that you were formulating it instead of having it all figured out first. That is, that goes against the grain of the formal teaching model.
Thank you.
Very cool. Thank you. The fact that you had the courage to bring those folks in and make it a learning experience, I'm sure it does exactly that. You guys are like five blocks of granite trying to put that one together.
Thank you.
Very neat. So we have this formulated curriculum, and I need to understand how it all works, and this is where I think we're going to bring Lauren in, right? Because so the beginning of the year starts September, and you already have a plan as to where you're going or who you're setting up with, or is that the beginning of the RVCC school year that you start figuring that out?
So my partner, Kimberly Scherner, and I, who are both the education program coordinators, we spend the month of August preparing for the fall semester, and we spend the month of January preparing for the spring semester.
Okay.
So we're securing placements for our students when school is not in session yet. So we spend a great deal of time, you know, reaching out to our colleagues and our peers in the local school districts, and it doesn't always work out that
Good
things
luck,
are in
man. They're all during, it's all in holiday. They're all in vacation.
Exactly. It doesn't always work out perfectly that we have the placement set at the start of September. And much of that has to do with the advent of really, advanced security measures where our students have to be on board agendas and things to have approval before they can go into the classroom. Mm-hmm. So even though we may have, you know, the placements and the partnerships secured, they may not be given the permission to get into the classroom yet.
Sure, sure. Okay, so now what are you doing when you're calling them up? You're saying I got students coming in for a day, a week, a month?
For example, when I reached out to North, I was speaking with John Hohola and Rich Burgax, and I explained to them that this is really going to be a leap of faith on their part. They have to be willing to help me to secure a minimum number of teachers, 4 or 5 teachers, who would be willing to open their doors to a pre-service teacher that is not just coming to sit and watch them.
Right.
They are coming to observe for about 15 hours, and then the duration of the 20 hours plus, most of them went above 20 hours, is going to be spent working with the teacher to come up with an action plan that they, the pre-service teacher, feels needs to be attended to. So, you know, and we hope that you'll be willing to then take us back in the subsequent semester and have my students facilitate that experience for the high school students. So it's really
cool.
A turnkey model.
All right, so I'm going to bring Lauren in here. So Lauren, apparently you've been accosted as one of the hosts of this, right? So
she's a victim. Yeah,
you're a victim. So, do you have any idea what the subject matter is going to be before a student comes in?
No, not at all. No, it's a unique thing because I had done the program and things have changed so much since I did it. I was a little gung-ho when I did it, so I was like, I want to teach a lesson. So I did teach lessons, but both of my placements. But it wasn't something so profound as this.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a unique situation for me, too, because I ended up breaking my foot, and I was out for 6 weeks. So I had 2 students who were supposed to be with me, and they were, like, freaking out because there's no one to come see. It's just my sub. But it ended up working out great, and then they came in. They observed me. I had 2 girls, Christine and Juliana, and they observed me. And then we kind of, together, we talked about how we could make a service project fit into the curriculum. Because we do need to kind of, you can't totally, as a teacher, derail your curriculum for this to happen.
Right.
So
tell me how you're an English teacher in North. What one of the classes that they were observing?
They observed English 1 CP and a class called Communication and Digital Literacy,
which
is a class it's not even an English class. It's actually this really neat, unique class that we created at North that is kind of base skills for freshman students. It replaced public speaking.
Okay.
And they ended up doing their project in my English class.
Okay. So they did it in the English class, not in the communications class?
No.
Okay.
No.
They observed both, though.
They did observe both, yes.
So they sit down for the first day. They're going to do 15 hours, so I imagine that's 15 days, or if you guys are an AB schedule, that's 30 days or something like that. So it's a month. And somewhere in that 15 or 30 days, they're starting to formulate an opinion based on what that a social cause needs to be brought to bear, brought to attention? How does that evolve? You're talking about English.
Sure.
I mean, no offense, but it's, you know, you're talking about, you know, topic sentences.
Well, let's talk. If you're teaching it right, we're talking about social issues.
Yeah.
So I'm teaching the Odyssey right now. And one of the topics that we were talking about, I actually, this year for the first time, I'm teaching it in conjunction with Margaret Atwood's The Penelope Ad, which is the story, I don't know, the Odyssey is about Odysseus coming home from the Trojan War.
Yep.
And his wife Penelope is famous most of all for being loyal and waiting for 20 years while there are all these suitors. So The Penelope Ad tells her version of the story. So then we got to talking a lot about, you know, the treatment of women during that time period, and then talking about moving forward, you know, things are so much better. It's perfect now, right? Everything's great. And then they came up with this great idea to start talking about what percentage of women are still without education and what's going on with that in our modern world. And then they had this idea to engage my high school students. Like, this is some high level stuff for people who have never taught a lesson before.
Because really?
Teaching is crazy, as you know.
Yeah.
They thought that they were going to do this interview with Emma Watson, who plays Hermione Granger in Harry Potter. Uh-huh. And she interviews Malala, the girl who was shot for advocating for education. And it ended up being a super awesome lesson. And I was so, so proud. Like, you can see it now, like glowing with pride. I'm like, this is the greatest thing, you know, to bring them into this. And it's cool. It's cool to be able to connect with high school kids because it takes some time usually to build
now,
a relationship.
When did you guide them? I mean, how did the formulation of that particular theme come out of it?
Sure. Yeah. I mean,
you did. You said there was. You thought it was going to be more about women issues or about.
Yeah, I guided them for sure. Okay. I was like, we're teaching the Penelope Ad. Go read it. Mm-hmm. See what you think of that, and see where we want to go with that. And then one of the girls was like, this reminds me, you know, because one of the things that happens in the end of the Odyssey is that Odysseus tells his son to kill the maids for sleeping, the maids of the household for sleeping with the suitors who were after his wife, and they're killed, and the only reason they're killed is because of that. So part of the Penelope Ad is written from the maid's perspective.
Uh-huh.
So the girls kind of brought in these quotes, and we did a tone analysis, which is like looking at how Odysseus's description of that was different from these women telling their story. It ended up being really neat. So.
Yeah, no, I mean,
some high level stuff too.
And oh, by the way, they caught on to some more English that they didn't even realize they were going to do. Right.
Right. You got to slip it in secretly.
Slip it in.
Yeah.
Chaucer was the best, man. You got all that cool stuff.
Chaucer
was awesome. You just got all that.
If only he finished Canterbury.
If only finished the Cambridge. So that's pretty cool. Now, they did they observed for the 15 days. When did it start to formulate in the 15-day period that this idea, and then it started to grow from there as they're still observing?
Well, it was 15 hours, but from the first day.
I'm making an equivalent that an hour is of one marking
right.
One day, one period of your class. So, no offense.
So they came on different days, the girls, which is cool because they had to coordinate outside of class, which took more effort, but I threw them right into kind of getting involved with interacting with the students and stuff. So they're handing out papers. They're sitting in the back of the class being like, hey, don't play that game and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So right from maybe they had to go quickly because I had been out. So I was like, by the time both of them have come for a second visit, I was like, let's talk about your action plan because we got to get this show on the road. And they were totally down to do that. They were excited to get going. And, you know, I was like, I think it would be best if you guys work together. They didn't initially intend to do that, but I was like, I can't.
The thought was they were going to two different projects?
Right. Or? And I was like, it really made sense for a social issues project to be done in my English class.
Right.
So I wanted them to work together. And it's always hard to work with someone else, but they ended up working brilliantly together. And they're different young ladies, like such different
lesson.
Young ladies, but they both brought like such different energy to the students.
Right.
And actually the two of them playing off of each other was super effective.
Neat.
Which is so fun to watch.
Yeah. No, it's a budding young teacher that hasn't been pummeled by by all the other stuff, right? Is cool.
Right.
So Kathy, now Lauren's doing all this stuff. How do you get feedback on all that? What how are you observing, guiding, just getting a check in? What's going on?
So It's been a challenging semester in regard to actually getting out to observe them. Previously in my Teach to Matter semesters, I've been actually out working with the students one-to-one. But since I took on this hybrid role as the Student Development Courses Coordinator, I've had to kind of limit my off-campus time.
Right.
And I'm spending more time in the classroom dialoguing with the students about what's happening. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be doing end of the semester presentations about their entire experience, and all of the community partners are being invited in to witness this and participate if need be in the presentation. So I've been monitoring it from afar this semester, talking with them, conversing with them, mm-hmm. and most of their reflection questions in class, you know, help them to make the connection between what they're doing in the field and the content that we're studying in the classroom.
Right. And so, Lauren, when they're going through this, is there pedagogy lessons that you're going through, or are you just letting them?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So
I don't know how to not do that. You know, I don't know how you deliver you know, something without that. You know.
Well, yeah, but I don't know how much training they've had yet. They're all
not much.
Yeah,
so this is their first education.
It's their first class. I have to serve my students too, you know.
Yeah,
so
you
I'm like, how can we do this? So it's tough. You forget. You get on autopilot when you've been teaching for some years. Like,
sure.
But one of my first supervisor I ever had, Mary Loader, who was an inspiration to me in so many ways, she said to me, "It's okay. It's like when you're learning to drive. When you're learning to drive, you're like, how can I look at the speedometer and at the road and see if there's a deer in this? I'm getting closer to the line."
Yeah,
and then at some point you're just driving and you're not paying attention.
But the car doesn't sneer at you. That's the difference. The car isn't talking back to you and talking behind your back when it's down in the cafeteria. Did you see what she did?
As long as it's in the cafeteria.
Yeah. Well.
So that stuff you forget that you're even doing it. So just little and I think the biggest thing to do for pre-service teachers is remind them you're doing a good job. You're doing a good job. That's it.
Yeah.
You know? There's nothing.
Got to take the risk.
It's you're putting yourself out there. You're not making widgets. You know, if you make a widget and it gets messed up and you throw it out, no one sees it. So you need someone to say, look, you're doing an awesome job. Let's work on this, this, and this. Let's circulate around the room a little more. Get some proximity to the kids. Let them know that you could be there any second.
Yeah.
So they should be ready for you.
That's
you know,
right.
And all that stuff. And repeating stuff like repeating a question 3 or 4 times, or clarifying a question, or breaking it down, and praising kids when they answer the question. It does. You think it comes naturally, but it's just stuff like you were saying that you had trained teachers before, and that's, you know, on the break, and
right.
It's so true.
Yeah. So, Kathy, what I find interesting about what Lauren was just talking about is when you're trying to learn how to teach, sometimes you can't even remember the subject matter you're trying to teach because you're worried all about the techniques and all the other things, all the external stimuli that you got to deal with.
Exactly.
I'm imagining this is an incredible growth for your students, but do you get any feedback like it's overwhelming or they?
So,
I mean, because that must be, that first couple of days must be unbelievable.
I was worried that they were going to come back to you and be like, she's terrifying.
Quite frankly, in plain English, the semester starts off with me saying to my students, you're going to hate me.
Yeah.
You know, and I say it facetiously, but I say, you know, I have very high expectations for you and I make no apologies for that because we have to put out the most highly qualified educators that we possibly can.
Right.
So I'm going to make a lot of demands on you academically and pre-professionally, and you need to understand that is not about me busting your hump. It's about me giving you the tools and the courage to go out there and use the tools. You know,
sure.
You talked about courage before. I tell my students all the time, there are 2 traits of an effective teacher that we often do not see in textbooks, and that's humility and vulnerability. Mm-hmm. You have to be willing to put your neck out and try. Yeah, you have to be able to put your neck out and try. And I'm so grateful to people like Lauren who are willing to do that. And it validates for me that what I believe is what professionals in the field continue to value about a pre-service experience because it cannot be theory. It has to be theory in practice more than anything.
Did you fear you're going to break them? and I mean that sincerely, if, you know, because there's so much you're asking to do mm-hmm. in such a short period of time, that could be a real downer.
Absolutely. And it is for some. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. The semester starts off, and we typically have an attrition of at least two or three students in the beginning of the semester because they just see that, you know what, they can't hack it.
So it's Darwinian.
But that's valuable.
Wow. It is valuable because you don't want to get them all the way down. Well, this is what RVCC...
what it's about.
What RVCC does in a... I had the gentleman over here who was doing the career transitions thing. Same thing.
Yeah.
Figure it out before it's too late.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
And I tell them, you know, because I've had students who, despite the fact that they don't want to remain in education, they have an incredible rapport with me. You know, I have a really great rapport with my students, and I think Lauren will attest to that. And I have students literally will come to my office door with their tail between their legs like a dog and want to apologize to me. And I'm like looking at them and, what are you saying you're sorry to me for? I've done my job. Yeah. I've given you the tools to make the decision as to whether or not this is where you want to go or where you don't. Cool. And I am so proud of you. Do not be shy or ashamed that you've decided to choose a path other than teaching.
And
yes.
And the reality is her class, as challenging as it may be, is not nearly as challenging as being an actual teacher.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So it's like, no, it's like slowly, I mean, your class, when I got to my next level, I was like, this is awesome. This is easy. And then I got student teaching. I was like, this is closer to that class, you know, like, and the closer you get to being in control of these lives, all these 150 lives, it's a lot of pressure and there's a lot of bureaucracy and it's like, you got to be on top of your game.
Right.
And I appreciate Lauren saying what she just said about, you know, the, how she went to her 4-year school and she felt very, very, you know, very well prepared. I get unsolicited calls, emails, letters all the time from my students thanking me for pushing them because of that reason. I tell stories in class all the time. When I taught fourth grade, my fourth graders used to say, this is so hard, Miss Sook, this is so hard. And I used to say to them, it's hard now, but fifth grade is going to be easy. And then they would show up at my door with their backpacks on their back and say, you're so right. And I would look at them and say, right about what? Fifth grade is easy. And I said, exactly, I've done my job. Right. So I tell them the same thing. You know, if you leave me and you go off to your baccalaureate program and you feel successful and you feel empowered and you feel like you have the proper skill set, I've done my job.
Can you feel a passion just oozing through the microphone? It's unbelievable. it's like it's just surrounding us, Kathy. It's
Thank
unbelievable.
You.
Tell me some of the, we have a few minutes before the next break. Okay. Tell me some of the social issues that came up. Now I'm fascinated. We just talked about Lawrence. Uh-huh. What else did you guys come up with?
So I'll give you a couple of highlights. Yeah. I'll give you a couple of highlights. Third graders, when you ask them what they're passionate about, it's very much about them. Yes, it's very much about them, right? It's very egocentric. Yeah. But their egocentricity in regard to their love of blowing things up or building remote control cars or designing Pokemon cars, they did this, you know. And one group of girls designed a cosmetic company. They made lip gloss. They designed a logo. They designed packaging. And then they sold it at their school fair. And then the money that they raised, they donated to a charity. So yes, they follow follow their passion and they create something, but then they did give back. Then we had seventh graders at St. Matthias School in Somerset County that it was their seventh grade project. All 50 seventh graders had to come up with a project. They were broken into 10 groups of five. And the project that they completed in their seventh grade year, the project that they formulated, became their eighth grade community service project. It was their graduation project. So they spent the entire eighth grade year, and they're doing it now. Some things are a peer tutor program for the P through 7 students. Mm-hmm. Another is a generations project where they're going to different homes of the elderly to share, you know, stories and do projects with them and crafts and sing for them. Another group is a watershed project for the brook that runs right behind their school. My favorite project that they came up with is designing a So we all know that the food pantries are such a vital part of our communities.
I just did an article about it a little while ago.
There you go. They're such a vital part of our communities. But we also know that most of the food that is available at a food pantry is not fresh. And these students were really concerned about the health implications of not eating fresh food. Mm-hmm. So with their school garden, they created menus of mini recipes that can be created quickly and efficiently with a hot pot or a microwave using fresh meals. And they prepackaged things and brought them to the food pantry. And I was just totally blown away. It gave me goosebumps.
This is seventh grader.
Seventh grader.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And then we've had, so that was seventh and eighth grade. We've had high school 11th and 12th graders at Hunterdon Prep in Annandale. Actually, they were concurrently enrolled as high school juniors and seniors and college freshmen and in the college transitions class. And they did things from creating a campus compost program. One of the seniors developed built a campus compost behind the school building. And every classroom got a receptacle. And every day she would collect them and bring them out to the back so that they could, you know, use that in the flower beds. Another student is very passionate about the notion of getting rid of the stigma of mental illness and how it typically occurs in middle school. And she's creating a peer-to-peer support group for middle school students who suffer with mental illness. We had another gentleman, and his project to this day blows my mind. He just wanted to create awareness about warbirds. And I am not ashamed to admit, I did not even know what a warbird was. I never heard the term. But when he started to explain it, I was like, oh, you're talking about, you know, planes. You're restoring planes. And he feels that planes are as much veterans as the soldiers that have served in our wars. And he worked to promote awareness of their restoration and rehabilitation. He went to air shows and brought models back. It was just incredible. And then we had a group at Watchung Hills High School that was a 9th through 12th grade club that was really focused on the fact that they are such a high-performing school and folks are so stressed and full of anxiety that they basically created a space where teachers and students alike could go and just watch movies on their lunch break and just awesome. Chill out.
Cool.
So there's been amazing things that have come out of this.
All right. Wow. That's a mouthful.
Yeah.
All right, we're gonna take a quick break, and I got we got a few more minutes when we come back. But I got so many questions. Like I told you, it goes pretty quick here. So we'll be back and get a little more info about the Teach to Matter program. Hang on, you're listening to Good Morning Hunter and HunterandChamber.com.
Has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care, at a moment's notice. 100 in Healthcare, your full circle of care.
All right, welcome back to Good Morning, 100. Kathy Soikas here, Lauren Young, and we're talking about Teach to Matter. And this has been quite an inspiration to talk about this concept now. I think I've gone through about all 3 years of your evolution in like 5 minutes, Kathy. The one question I needed to ask, and I forgot to a long time ago when we started this thing, It's more of a rhetorical question, but I'm sure you'll agree. Because the curriculums today in the high schools, and this is, Lauren, I'm sure you'll agree, there's so much more social cause, social community service involved in it. Mm-hmm. Nothing that I had to deal with back when I was in high school. It's interesting that you've blended the need for that to be in the schools, and you're making it part of the teaching acumen. It's not even an action anymore. You're actually evolving the mentality of the teacher coming in so that it supports that, and yet you're doing it on your own as well. It's pretty neat. So, so you've been doing this for 2 years, 2.5 years, right? Mm-hmm. And it sounds like it's been going on for decades.
Thank you.
So, where does it go from here? What do you, I mean? You can't be. I know you're not satisfied with where it is. There's no way because you're just that type of person. So how does it? And I know you're really excited about the fact that you're making a big impact on the students themselves. But I know there's a bigger cause here. What is it?
So, it's funny because, you know, we did just meet here today, and you are absolutely right. It is much bigger than me. And for me, it's about our profession and it's about our children. When I became a pre-service teacher educator, I wanted to make sure that I impacted the future in the most positive, forward-thinking way that I could. And, you know, I wanted to make sure that I was sending out the most highly qualified teachers that I could. And, you know, 8 years ago when I started, I thought I was doing a good job. But for me, a good job is not good enough. It has to be powerful. It has to be meaningful. It has to be relevant and authentic. And I started Teach to Matter and with my students, and we created a website and a Twitter account and a Facebook, and we have videos, and we did all of this not to pat ourselves on the back, but because we want somebody else to see it and do it too. You know, I'm trying to get other community colleges to be interested. I'm trying to get other four-year schools to be interested. Mm-hmm. I'm part of a three-year grant with the Teagle Foundation that is looking at how civic mindedness connects to student learning and learning outcomes, and I'm just trying to spread the mission. This is, we have not copyrighted anything, you know, we're not asking anybody to pay for it. Nope. But I would just love someone to listen and say, you know what, Kathy, come and teach us, you know, have your students come down and let's keep this going. So, and gratefully, one of my students that helped me develop it, Emily Daigle, she's at Rider University, and she's going to be a senior, and she actually did a workshop on Teach to Matter at an ed camp session that they had at the campus, and hopefully Ryder will turnkey it because Slackwood Elementary is like 5 minutes down the road from them, and they've already participated in this model with us. So we're hoping that it will just spread more than anything.
I'm going to ask you the toughest question.
Okay.
How do you know when you made it?
How do I know when I've made what?
Whatever it is, whatever that. How do you know when you've achieved it? Because you are, I know you, I already know the way you think. I no offense. Okay. I'm just trying to. You've got such big goals. Mm-hmm. How do you know? When do you sit back and say, "Wow, it happened! I've accomplished it." I don't know what it is, but tell me what it is.
When I became a teacher almost 20 years ago, it happened because I wanted to be a child advocate. And I knew I could not make a living as a child advocate. So I said, how can I do that? And I said, I can become a teacher and give them the tools to do it themselves. And the fact that you've already heard the outcomes that some of these kids have created, I've done it. I'm going to get emotional. I've given them the tools. I've given them the tools to advocate for themselves and make our world a better place. So do I think I'm at the end? Absolutely not.
No, you're not even close.
Teach to Matter keeps evolving, and I'm so grateful for that. And it's because of people like Lauren and the teachers that I work so closely with.
Yep.
But most importantly, it's because of my students. Yep. My students know, and Lauren will tell you this, I tell my students I love them, and I mean it. I love that they are willing to take chances, because that's the only way they are going to become the kind of teachers that our children in this nation deserve.
Yep. Isn't it amazing that she embodies the humility that she talked about? That's what she wanted in all her students. It's amazing.
It is amazing. And with all she's accomplished, yeah, to still retain humility is fantastic.
Yep.
And
is why.
So, Lauren, you've been doing, you said you've been teaching for 8 years, right? Is that right?
No.
Oh, did I miss that?
I've been at RV for 8 years.
Oh, you've been at eight years.
I've
you've been teaching
since I was 18.
18, okay.
I have a friend who actually kind of has. I have been at North 5 years, including 5 years. student teaching. So
okay.
4 years four as years. A paid teacher.
So, and you did something like this, right, before it was this? Teach to Matter, or
it was her class.
Her class,
and it was
but
her passion. So,
but it was before she.
It was before it was called Teach to Matter, and had the
So let me ask you this: now, is this the first year you did it?
Yes.
Okay, are you doing it again?
Absolutely. Come on, get out of town.
Get out of town.
You know I am.
How did doing it change you and your teaching? How did bringing this in change you and your teaching?
You know, it was such a breath of fresh air. It's not
which is perfect when you're 5 years in.
It is. It's. I mean, to be completely honest, it's not the best time to be a teacher. And it feels a little like a little crazy. Yeah. And then to have these girls come in and to have to look at the world of teaching through fresh eyes again was really, really powerful for me. Every time that they left, I was like, that was so great. Like, I'm telling my colleagues, we have an office filled with women, and then it's all the English teacher women. Yeah. And I'm like, I loved that. That was so awesome. And I loved seeing it through their eyes. And then it also, like you were saying, asks you to examine what you're doing. I'm just giving even just like pedagogical stuff, like, oh, I should be repeating that more. Like, you see it in somebody else.
Yeah, all of a sudden you have to raise your game.
Right. Yep. And then, you know, just empathy, just a lot of empathy.
You gave her all the humbleness too. Pretty cool. Humbleness and humility. Excellent. All right, we got about a minute left. So where do we go from here? What do you guys plan for?
For Teach to Matter?
Yeah.
So next Tuesday are our presentations, and you know, we'll have our RVCC friends there from the foundation, from service learning, from student life, hopefully folks from the administration coming in to actually see that the time and the energy and the recognition that Teach to Matter has earned is well deserved.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll also have, of course, the community partners there. And you know, next semester, and I'm so grateful. I was hoping Lauren would say she was going to do this.
What
so
if I
next,
said no?
We put her on I got it recorded, Lauren. You're done now.
I can hold her ransom now.
Oh, that's it.
So I'm hoping next semester
make it a ringtone.
I'm hoping next semester that those students that were with their cooperating teachers this semester will enroll in field experience for the spring and then turnkey it with the students, because that's where the power really, really lies. And it just, it gives them the courage to say, you know what, I actually can do this. And then they graduate and they transfer.
And I've been promised a beautiful PowerPoint from Juliana and Christine. So I look forward to seeing it.
And now you're probably already baking somewhere the next social cause that you're going to guide. What are you thinking of?
Oh, where will we be? So we'll be in Dickens. We'll be doing Great Expectations. So there's a whole smorgasbord there.
Awesome.
Maybe a Marxist.
Wow. Last question, Kathy. How does Choose to Matter? What's their take on the whole thing now that you've done this for 2 years?
So that's a great question. You know, at first they were really, you know, 100% on board. They've been, you know, they were very, very supportive, but they've evolved themselves as well. So the connection hasn't been as consistent, but they are completely supportive. And every time I share that I've done something, I email them or I tweet them or whatever, it is always with complete admiration and respect. They're so grateful that their message too is being shared.
And so I'll leave it with this.
Okay.
Because you, I asked you, what? How do you know when you made it? And I'm going to think that it's when somebody starts to call you up and say, I want to start using your curriculum, and maybe it's from California or Iraq or it doesn't matter where, you know, somebody calls you up and says, I want to do that. That's when it's all going to hit.
Thank you.
So very cool. Wow. You know, Donna, I hope you're listening because you keep sending me every time somebody even it beats the next person. So thank you so much. It's great having you guys. Appreciate you coming on.
Thank you.
It's been my pleasure to be with you every weekday morning, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Thank you to Kathy Sook, Lauren Young for their contribution to the show, and Michelle Heidi for her investment update. Vince Arlino says, never say I should have. Wow. Go check out Teach to Matter and all the social causes that they are trying to overcome the challenges. Stay tuned for the library show at 11 o'clock, and I'll be back tomorrow live from Vegas. Good morning, Hunter, and huntshimmer.com.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News. I'm Ron Taylor. The family of Freddie Gray is thanking the jury for its service and says it's hopeful that a new trial for Baltimore Police Officer William Porter will end with a verdict.
They did the best that they could. We are hopeful that Ms. Mosley will retry Officer Porter as soon as possible.
Richard Shipley is the stepfather of Freddie Gray, who died back in April while in Baltimore Police custody. His death led to days of unrest across the city. It was announced Wednesday that jurors in the case were unable to reach a verdict on any of the charges Porter was facing. Defense Secretary Ash Carter is catching heat for using a personal email account for government business during his first months in the Pentagon. The New York Times reported yesterday that Carter was using the account in violation of Defense Department rules, even after the Hillary Clinton email scandal made headlines earlier this year. FBI agents were on hand this week as San Bernardino terrorists Syed Farouk and Tashin Malik were buried in an unidentified cemetery. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Welcome to Staples.
Hi, Staples guy. Own small business. No time. Holidays busy. Pack stuff. Ship stuff. Help.
Well,
you're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Young people, what they told us is smoking in video games makes your character look cool, more powerful, the more important characters smoke.
This is very concerning because of how popular video games are with kids. Koval says 56% of young people play video games every single day. As parents get requests to buy video games for a holiday gift, they need to do more than just look at the packaging. Of the most popular video games, 8% have a warning about the smoking imagery on the packaging, but actually 42% contain smoking imagery.
Parents need to do a little bit more research, talk to their kids, take a look at these games while their kids are playing them to really understand what's in them.
I'm Ron Taylor, and you're listening to USA Radio News.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HuntertonChamberRadio.com at
the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good Morning Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HunterdonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming.